We again continue our studies in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And again, may I take the opportunity of thanking you, precious people, for your letters and for your encouragement in prayer and for your gifts, which make this broadcast possible. And we do thank you especially for holding us up, that the Word of God may reach many, many hearts. And I'm really encouraged, as I've gone through the book of Hebrews, at the tremendous blessing it has been to my own heart and then to the hearts of those who have been listening in. You know, it's an amazing thing. One can teach a book a number of times, and it's always fresh and new. There's always something in there that possibly you didn't see before. And I'm sure that as you read and reread this wonderful book, the Lord may make it exceeding precious to your own heart. So I continue now in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and we're dealing with a new division in the chapter on the triumph of faith, verses 29 to 31, the triumph of faith. We had in the chapter what faith is, the proving of the unseen. Then we had the life of faith as it was seen in the patriarchs, and then we had the courage of faith as it was seen in Moses. Now we come to the triumph of faith from verses 29 to 31. And there are three instances given to us on the triumph of faith. In verse 29 at the Red Sea, in verse 30 at Jericho, and in verse 31 with Rahab. Now let me take this verse, let me read those verses through, 29 to 31. By faith they, that is Israel, passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, trying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Now this first one in verse 29, the triumph of faith is seen at the Red Sea. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, trying to do, were drowned. Now here again, not only at the Passover, but now at the Red Sea, they're tested again. You know, it's an amazing thing that Christians fail to realize that the moment you accept the Savior and are redeemed through what He accomplished for us at the cross, having saved us, cleansed us, forgiven us, made us His children. See, now everything's going to be so fine. Yes, it is. But you're bound to have tests and trials. Now they've left Egypt, this nation of slaves. They've left Egypt and they make for the Red Sea. And the Lord sent them by the way of the Red Sea, lest seeing warfare they may get discouraged and want to run back to Egypt. So the Lord led them in a roundabout way, and He brought them to the Red Sea. Now, when they came to the Red Sea, you have an amazing thing took place. In fact, they got really scared. Before them was the Red Sea. On each side of them were mountains. Behind them, they saw a great cloud of dust. The Egyptian army with its chariots was coming after them. Indeed, they were hemmed in on all sides. The only way they could go was to go forward. But that's through the Red Sea. When they look back, here are the Egyptians with their chariots, with their soldiers, which meant death. On each side of them, they couldn't get away fast enough because of the terrain. Hills on each side of them. How are they going to get away? So we read, God told Moses, tell the people to go forward. And you remember how Moses said, the Egyptians whom you've seen today, you'll not see again forever. Go forward. Now this was a command of God to His servant Moses. And I read that when they began to move forward, the sea opened up and they went through. They were obedient to the word of God. Here's the triumph of faith, I'll tell you. All they had to stand upon was the simple, clear-cut word of God. Go forward. And when God speaks, He means exactly what he says. He'll do what he says. When he said, the Egyptians who you see today, you'll never see them again. And they went through on dry ground. Now, following them was the Egyptian army with their chariots. And God made it so that the chariots couldn't go through. Began a wail through the sand. And then, after all Israel was crossed the Red Sea, God sent a wind and blew the sea back where it belonged. And the Egyptians perished. That's what you have. But may I suggest something here? Israel manifested faith in the word of the living God. The Egyptians tried to do the same thing and were drowned. They imitated openly what Israel did. They saw Israel going through the Red Sea. And the sea was a wall to them on one side and to the other side. You say that's an impossibility. Oh, listen, just a minute. Our God is the God of impossibilities. Nothing impossible with God. He just speaks and it's done. And as they began to go through the Red Sea, as they were going through it, behind them came the Egyptian army. Now, openly, as you looked, if you were looking at that scene, you would say they were both doing the same thing. But one was delivered, the other perished. May I just stop and say this? There are a great many people today who are imitating Christianity. And they're going to be judged. They're not going to be saved. You see, friend, the gospel is for the obedience of faith. If God says a certain thing, God expects us to believe what he says. If I don't believe what God says, I'm questioning the character, the veracity of God. Now, if Israel had stood there on the side of the Red Sea and began to argue whether it was the voice of God or not, or whether he meant what he said, or so on, they would have been butchered by the Egyptians. God said, move forward. And as they began to step forward into the sea, it opened up until all of Israel crossed the Red Sea. And the Egyptians tried to do the same thing. Are you imitating Christianity, or do you have a genuine, real faith in Christ? For the obedience of faith means for you to put your trust in the Savior, that Jesus Christ is the one who died to redeem you from sin, and he guarantees that through his resurrection. And when Israel got on the other side of the Red Sea, behind them was the Red Sea now, and no more Egyptians. That was the end of Egypt. Although afterwards, as they went through the desert, through the wilderness, they oftentimes longed and yearned to go back to Egypt. They never went back to Egypt. And the result is, God took care of his people. How many are those who are still wanting to live in the world? Listen, friend, between you and the world, just like between Israel and Egypt, was the Red Sea. They went through the Red Sea, and through our identification with Christ, we've been freed from the world and all that belongs to it. You remember Galatians chapter 6:14, where Paul says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me and I to the world. What I'm trying to get into your heart is, he wants reality, not imitation. I want the substance, not the shadows. And so, friend, let me say to you, I don't care whether you're a church member or a moralist or a ceremonialist. I don't care what you are, who you are. If you're not really trusting the Savior, I would urge you to do that and not trust in things that you do, whether they be religious or moral. Now, I'm not opposed to morality. I'm not opposed to ceremonies. I'm not talking about that. But we don't depend upon those things for our salvation. It's a matter of testimony for the Lord, but the question of going on with God. But this matter of real life, of deliverance from death, from judgment, is only on one ground, on the ground of the death and resurrection of our Savior. Now we come to the second triumph of faith, and that is found in verse 30. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. That's all that's given to that. That's found in Joshua chapter 6. Well, why in the world is that put in here? Because they obeyed God. From a human viewpoint, they did a very unreasonable thing. They just believed God. And obedience brought victory. Here you see man's weakness and God's power. I always rejoice in that story in the book of Joshua chapter 6, where the people of Israel had crossed the river Jordan and they came into the land, and here the very first thing they faced was a walled city called Jericho. Very strong city. Now what are they going to do? Right at the very borders of the land, they're faced with a walled city. What shall they do? So they inquired of the Lord what to do, which is pretty good reasoning, by the way. It's a good thing to inquire of the Lord. It's a good thing to wait on the Lord. It's a good thing to know your God. It's a good thing to confer with your Lord. For me to say the Lord is my Savior, and to say He's my friend. If I say He's my friend, that calls for intimacy of fellowship. That calls for unburdening your heart. If He's a real friend, you don't unburden your heart if folks are not your real friends, because you don't know what they're going to do. If He's a real friend, you're safe in doing this. So if we're going to talk to the Lord, then it's for us to just pour out all that we are upon Him. So they did that. And God spoke with Joshua, who was their leader. And he said, okay, he said, I'll give you your orders. I want you to take a walk around the city. And then go back to your tents and sit down. So you have this whole nation of slaves, possibly 1 or 2 million people. And they walk around this city and go back to their tents. And then, second day, you do the same thing again. And they did it the second day. And they did it the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day. I'm sure by this time, it got to be quite a procession. And every morning you can just see those people of Jericho, these Jerichoites, standing on the walls of the city and looking down with a certain measure of scorn. And say, what do these Israelites do? They take a walk every morning and they walk around the city. Well, that's what God told them to do. I say again, they did the most unreasonable thing. Then on the seventh day, I want you to walk around 7 times. Just keep on walking 7 times. And I'm sure by this time, the people of Nineveh, the people of Jericho were just simply shouting at them and mocking them and sneering at them and so forth. When they went around the seventh time, the instruction was the priests were to blow the trumpets, and that when they blew the trumpets, the walls of Jericho would fall flat, and then the people would go right in wherever they were, for they were surrounding the city, and take the city. And this is exactly what they did. I say, you see man's weakness and God's power. In Jericho, we see the fragrance and the power of the world, but we also see the power of God. And the faith of a people who are willing to just believe what God says. You know, before I came a Christian, I remember hearing a man one time speak at a machine shop where I was working at noontime. And he spoke about this thing. I'd been invited over by one of the men to hear this preacher. And he got talking about the children of Israel at the city of Jericho. Now he said there's no need for us to think about a miracle being performed here. It can be understood through scientific methods. For example, as they walked around the city, 1 to 2 million people, as they walked in step for 6 days, they were undermining the foundation of the city walls. Well, you and I well know that when a regiment of soldiers crosses a bridge, at least it used to be this way, They were always told to break step. In other words, they were not to keep in step. Now, I don't know much about it, but I'm giving you now what this preacher said. So he said on the seventh day, they walked around seven times, and by this time, the foundations were undermined, and then they were to blow the trumpets and shout. And that caused such a stir that the walls fell flat. I never forgot that. But I just love this little verse which says, by faith, not by their walking, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. See, God answered to faith. They were simply obedient to God. My friend, this was not a nation of warriors. This was a nation of slaves. But in obedience to God's word, they had victory. Which leads to the next one. In verse 31, I read, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Now, that's in the same chapter of Joshua chapter 6. And you remember in James chapter 2, 25, it talks about the faith of Rahab. In spite of all circumstances, she believed God. Now, all that she knew of God was what she heard from the spies, which leads me back to Kadesh Barnea. You remember that they sent spies out to spy out the land, and they came to Jericho. And Rahab was the one who took the spies and hid them in some sheaves on the top of her roof of her house. I take it her house was on the wall of the city. I don't know much about Rahab's life. All I know is that she had heard, like all the rest in Jericho heard, about the God of the Hebrews. The report of how they'd left Egypt, of how they crossed the Red Sea, about all their experiences in the wilderness, had gone ahead of them. And the people of Canaan knew and had heard of the God of Israel and of all that he had done for his people. So this woman, in talking to the spies, heard the report from their own lips of what their God had done for them. And she hid the spies and said, when your God moves into this country, remember me. And they said to her, you close the door of your house and take your family and all your whoever you want in there and put a scarlet thread or a rope outside of your window, and we will guarantee that you will be made free and that you'll be saved. And you remember, by faith, she did that. And all she knew was a testimony. You ever stop to think of it? I've always heard about this. She just heard the testimony around her. In fact, it was the testimony, more than likely, of the Jerichoites about the God of the Hebrews. And she believed God. You know, that's the only way people are saved, is by believing the testimony of God. In Isaiah chapter 53:1, you remember, the verse goes, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Well, the arm of the Lord is revealed only to those who believe the report. For example, I have given over this radio the report from God that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for sinners. And that if any man or woman were to put their trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior, they would not only be forgiven every sin, but they would pass from death to life. They would be made the recipients of eternal life and become the children of the eternal living God. Now, I'm giving you a report what God says. And all God asks of you is to believe the report. Now, the danger is for us to sit down and rationalize our unbelief. You say, well, I've got to know more about it than that. Well, my friend, listen, you've got a Bible, and you read the story about our Savior, and you keep on reading your Bible, and God will reveal to you, that is, if you mean business. God always means business. And if you want sins forgiven and want peace with God, he expects you to believe the report concerning his son. And everybody in Jericho was destroyed under the judgment of God through Israel. except Rahab and those who were in her house. And by the way, a little sideline here, Rahab became the grandmother of King David. You know, it's an amazing thing how God uses these different kind of people through whom his son should come. I would suggest you think about that. Have you believed the report concerning God's son? He wants you to believe him. Even if you don't understand everything, you believe what he has said, for he's talking to you today.